Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, so Jamie Heaslip is in studio. How are you?
Good, very good.
Official Ireland team sponsor, Vodafone, Jamie. They want rugby fans to turn the Aviva Stadium green on Saturday. They're asking fans to pull out their Ireland jersey, green scarf, hats and flags. And if you're watching at home, take a picture of yourself. Use the hashtag Team of Us on social and you could win yourself a brand new Ireland rugby jersey. Check out rugby.vodafone.ie for all the latest hashtag Team of New Us. Now that you're on this side of the fence, you're going to be in the commentary box for the game.
Yeah.
You've got the green jersey on. Is there a little bit of bias there when you're doing your commentary?
Well, I have to be careful,
don't I? You're
going
to be slating Kieran Reid at every possible opportunity. I was laughing.
I got called many things, right? But when I was doing commentary for the Munster Gloucester game, I got called biased towards Munster.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, that's it. The world's gone mad. The world's gone mad. But no, I can see why a lot of guys stay on that circuit because you get the best seats in the house in the Aviva from what I can see.
Yeah, it's decent.
The view is good. Ryle just makes the game exciting just by being around them and his excitement levels. But yeah, it's good. I get to call it as I see it and try and give whatever insight I might have.
How difficult do you find it to call it as you see it with the sheer speed that the game is played at?
Not that bad.
Do you see things when you're watching a replay, you go, well, if we were in a review session, this is what we'd be looking at?
I'm like, I don't know, Rob, I don't know what he was thinking halftime when I was playing because I'm kind of like shouting to pull the ball over to different, I'm seeing the space, obviously, that doesn't, sometimes the TV doesn't have that angle.
Yeah.
I'm kind of seeing the space where Ireland are going after and knowing how Johnny or whoever is the playmakers, how they think, and then see our weaknesses as well, you know. You don't have that bird's eye view. I'm now realising why it must be so frustrating being a coach, because you can literally do nothing.
Yeah.
And it's the guys on the field. But it's enjoying as well, because I can see what they're trying to do as well, and the way I'm trying to call it is probably how I would talk in a review if we were doing a match review.
Okay, because it's interesting how we watch Ireland games. Everything is almost through the prism of Joe on a Monday in Carton House and the review session, and every time there's the slightest drop ball or anything goes wrong, it's, Joe ain't gonna like that.
Yeah.
Even down to Simon Zeebo playing for Racing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Joe won't like that.
Yeah.
Like that's how people generally tend to look at this game, that it's not about impressing us, the fans, anymore. Oh, if Joe's happy, we're all happy. Like, did you find that as a player?
No, like, I mean, I think the thing that mattered was like winning. That's what, you know, that's what you wanted to do as a player. That's what you were measured on. I mean, I know he'll talk about the, you know, and it is a very process philosophy, I suppose, and not outcome focused, but like you're judged on the outcome, which is the irony in it. And that's why the game at the weekend was, they won, which is the most important thing, I think, coming out of it. But they Argentina exposed enough and Ireland made enough mistakes that there'd be plenty to work on for this week. Because Ireland have to be, if they were play the same that they played last weekend, I think they'll be beaten out the gate, but they're not going to be like that. I mean, that was their first running. I think they had two or three training sessions together as a group with the whole Italy game thing. Argentina would have had a lot more time.
You've probably spent quite a bit of time with Rory Best as part of a leadership group, yep. I guess, with Ireland, when he's had a tough day at the office. And it was such a part of the build-up, probably because what happened with England and South Africa the week before, where the line-out ended up costing South Africa that game. It put Ireland in a lot of trouble this time. Being around Rory Best, when he has a difficult day, and like a lot of the talk this week is, if it goes badly wrong this week, Joe Schmidt's going to have a decision on his hands to make regarding the hooker role and the captaincy.
Mm.
How does he respond? What does he do?
Well, look, all players have bad games, go through bad phases. Like, you know, it's impossible to be good 24/7. Like, it's just the volume of games that you play. It's tough. But I think, you know, good players will always kind of always remain good. You know, they won't dip too far or anything like that. But I mean, such is the pressure in that squad right now that definitely everyone's feeling heat because there's such strength and depth. And you saw the difference the bench made at the weekend. And he'll be feeling the heat. But he's, you know, at the same time, like, you don't turn into a bad player overnight. You know what I mean? And so, like, that's how I would have approached it. You know, in my position, if you had a bad game, we had a bad two or three games, kind of go like, know, you don't, you're not instantly a bad player. Like, you just go, okay, go back to your fundamentals, go back to what you're good at, work on that, put one foot in front of the other and get going again. But I'd hate to be in Joe's shoes because there's such competition across the entire squad. Like, I mean, take the back five, for example. Like, I mean, there was no room for Ty Byrne. Now, I'm not picking the squad. I don't know what the thinking is, but I think he's been outstanding. You know, same with Josh van der Vlier, absolutely outstanding. But then it's like, okay, but like Sean O'Brien and Dan Levy were there. You're kind of like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So it's mental.
Is that level of competition always a good thing? Like, did you like to know that, you know what, I'm playing well, I don't need to be worrying on a Tuesday or Wednesday getting the knock on the door saying, you're playing? Did you like to know I am the man?
I always never took it for granted being picked. So you're like, you kind of know on a Tuesday with the team that is training what's happening, but you still wait until that he announces it officially, and you wait for your name to call out and you kind of get it, and then you get on with it. And that's just, that didn't change over whatever 15 years, whatever it was that I played, at all different levels. And but it's good because that competition raises the standard of training and, you know, standard of level of training, which has the knock-on effect of the actual team as well. And that's what we want at the end of the day. We want the team performing at the best level it can be, because, you know, I can say it now that I'm not part of the squad. This group, you know, they have a really good chance of winning the World Cup.
Did you ever have a bad game on that analysis and the Monday after a match? Did you ever have a bad, not that you had many bad games, of course, Jamie, but did you ever
You're saying that now to my face. I'm sure you said something different.
Never. This guy. He's got to be our number 8 every time. I can't believe people are raising questions.
Yeah.
Just stand there and find a different spot in the team. But say, even going all the way back with Leinster working with Joe, were there times where you just didn't, you had a 6 or 7 out of 10 performance, or actually Joe on the Monday just left you alone and said, I know this guy well enough, I know I can trust him, that in himself, he will correct this over the next week? Or was it always a case of, if it didn't go well on the Saturday, on the Monday, it was going to be pointed out?
I can't speak for Joe, but I'm sure that like half the skill of being a coach is knowing your players and getting to know your players. So, like, I mean, I'm sure Joe knew me, had me as a player for 8 years, you know, so he got to know me pretty well. They obviously were with you way more when they're in Leinster rather than Ireland, but in Ireland, it's a bit of a, you know, pressure cooker that you're thrown straight in. You're living with these guys for weeks on end. So that's probably the part of the skill with the coach, knowing how to push his players, how to pull back on them, maybe give them space. And sometimes it's the flip. It's like when guys are going really, really well, they'll like put pressure on them or try and take them down off their high horse. You know, there's all sorts of different minds. That's a whole other element. And that's the art part of being a coach.
And was he better at that than most of the other coaches you've worked with?
They're all different. There's probably, you know what I mean? Like some are more, how do I put this? Not passionate, but some are more kind of like brutal is probably a way of putting it. Some are more discreet, but you know exactly what they mean. You know, they kind of, just the way they frame the conversation or the analysis. And sometimes they just pull you aside and they let you know quietly. You know, everyone has different styles and at different times, depending on how you are. Like, you know, sometimes the worst thing when a guy's low is beating them up even more, you know. So that, again, and then as a leadership group, I mean, that's a bit of a skill as well, then knowing who's around, you know, who you can lean on, who you need help for, you know, maybe one player needs to focus a little bit more on himself rather than the group this week, so someone else kind of picks up that slack. And they've such a strong leadership group there that no matter how anyone's performing or not performing, that the collective will still be strong.
The one thing that we can guarantee from the game this weekend is that it's going to be ferocious. And watching back the game in Chicago, I've never seen an Irish team on their toes quite like it, ready to hit. Even your little offload for Robbie Henshaw's try, there's only 2 minutes left. Just the sheer ferociousness of the speed Henshaw hit that line. Yeah. I don't think I've seen that too often. Like, you were here and you said that was the day above all else that still stands out.
Well, I think there was so much hardship over the years against New Zealand for myself personally that was a big moment. But like, I mean, Robbie going over, And the way that stadium was, where there's like a 6 foot wall or something kind of around the whole thing, and then you just kind of look up and there's like this green wave just pouring down on top of you, like this just sea of green. And when you looked up, it was mad, it was insane, everyone going crazy. And that constant noise throughout the whole day, and like the whole city was taken over by Irish fans, even though the Cubs had won that week. But you're right, to beat New Zealand, you've got to be aggressive with your mindset and the way you play. Because they're an aggressive side as well. I mean, I know they play a lot of fancy rugby and a lot of kind of, it seems, ad lib and unstructured, but there's a lot, they play to a certain shape, certain structure, they kick a lot of it, but they do everything through power and aggression and speed. And you got to match that. It's as simple as that. You got to stop them on the gain line. You can't let them have momentum. You can't let them win the collisions because they'll get into their offload game as well. And they run such good lines off the offloads that everyone's going to have their hands full and everyone's got to be on top of their game. Because as we saw again last week, they only need, and we got a reminder in 2013 and we got a reminder 2 weeks after that Chicago game. You know, they only need a small window. And they will take it with both hands.
Was the Chicago game the most grueling match you've played in?
No, the toughest game I ever played in second test, 2009 Lions Tour against South Africa. That is by far the toughest game I've ever played in. And that was brutal. New Zealand game, that game is in the top three. And then probably the Leinster-Claremont game, semi-final. That would be my top three toughest.
It felt as if, again, watching back the highlights, there was almost an element of shock and awe with what Ireland did in that first half with the three tries. Yeah. New Zealand had to be ready for it, but that it was just so intense, so all action, so all over the shop in lots of different ways. And maybe it was because you had your basics so well at that stage, you could switch things up a little bit. Like, did it feel like that in the day that quite simply in that first 40 minutes, New Zealand couldn't cope?
Yeah, yes and no. But like a lot kind of went wrong in that first half as well. Like, well, not that it went wrong. Like, Johnny got injured. Mm. Jordan Murphy got injured pretty quickly as well. So there was two guys who went off pretty quickly and had to be replaced. They had Joey Carby coming on, making Joey's first cap. You know, and you're kind of going, like, we all knew Joey was really good, and you're kind of going, okay, the kid's coming on.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be someday. But funny enough, that was the story we started telling ourselves in the group then, that, you know, when they started coming back into it, we were like, look, we knew this was going to happen. This happened previously. We know we've got the head start in them. We've got to focus on our basics. Got to get back into the game. You know, we got to play down there. Da, da, da. And, you know, we started telling us these positive stories off the experience that we had before. And that got us into the right mindset and then got us into the right positions to get that score and effectively close out the game.
So what's your sense of this weekend? Because I guess they may feel they've... Even the score with the victory 2 weeks later, but even that was a strange game. There were so many injuries again in that match.
I wonder how the refs would rule that one.
Quite a few controversial refereeing decisions during that game. Yeah. Ireland, I think, had so much possession, so much territory without being able to convert it. Like, do you feel that actually shows that backs up Chicago more than the scoreline does?
But even before that, I mean, Ireland had run them close. I mean, I know we'd run them close a couple of times. I'd been involved in games. I'm trying to remember two or three games where we ran them close. We nearly drew with them once.
You
got a drop goal or a penalty or something like that. And we'd have pushed them and been thereabouts at times, but very little consistency. But I think since 2013, you've seen that level of consistency from this squad dramatically improve. I think the set piece is going to be huge because that's a massive part of Ireland's armour in terms of being able to launch off it, map it out. The different chess, the way, you know, they move the chess pieces around the board to orchestrate, kind of to make the most of whatever chink in the armour that New Zealand might have. And if anyone can find that, Joe will find that. And I think, like I said before, Ireland got to be at the best of their game. I think Argentina at the weekend challenged them at times, but I still don't know if it was Ireland's defence or the fact, like, Argentina played within the 15s a lot.
Yeah.
So they left a lot of space. They didn't put any wingers into those 15s on your side. So, like, defensively, they're really narrow, which made it quite easy in Ireland. But in the past, Ireland, in the tour in June and during the Six Nations, teams found space in the edge all too easily at times for my liking. And I know that would be something that they'd be working on. They have a habit of... Sides can get the defensive, can condense the defensive line, and a side like New Zealand, if they do that, there's a, like, you see what yeah. you see what their finishers can do.
They kill you.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget that all today we're asking to wear green with the team of us.
Yeah.
I'd say you're missing it massively this week.
You know what? It's
my body feels good though.
Yeah, it does.
I can walk straight.
At times. Depends on the morning, to be honest, still. But yeah, it's exciting. Like, I always say to guys, do you miss it? And I was like, you're always going to miss the big games. I mean, in 10, 20 years' time, there's nothing replaces running out onto the field for Ireland. You run out there, like, the whole place is going to be painted green. There's going to be green flags, green scarves, green jerseys. It's just going to be mental. And that's what you want, because you want them to feel a little bit uncomfortable in there. Like, in the back of their mind now, we're no more the guys who, they put up a good fight, yeah. but... We're not that anymore.
Everyone will be devastated if we don't win.
We're number two in the world, and we're going against number one. And make no mistake about it, we want to be number one.
Yeah, can't wait. Jamie, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.